The Night Train is brought to you by St Andrews Hotel, 128 Nicholson Street, Fitzroy. Beautifully crafted, cosy and intimate spaces for your drinking and dining experiences.
Marta Dugandžić, welcome to the Night Train, mate.
Thanks for having me.
No worries, mate. Like I said, 29 years old, 22 October 1989, spring chicken compared to most of us. Started your career at St Albans. You basically live across the road there, or you did. Were coached by an illustrious coach in your junior days who might or might not be listening. From the Saints, came across to the Knights, and then in 2009, Melbourne Victory, says here, youth career, but then senior career started earlier than that. The Melbourne Knights, 2006 and 7, and then a big overseas move, 2008 and 9, Dinamo Zagreb. Spent some time at Lokomotiva as well on loan. Melbourne Knights again, Melbourne Victory, Melbourne City. So were you the first player ever to switch between those two city rivals?
Directly, yes. There were a couple of players that had played for both clubs prior.
But in between, they were somewhere else?
Yes.
So you were like a Robert Prosinecki, didn't you go? Did you go to Real and Barcelona, or was that someone else I'm thinking of?
I'm just remembering at Barcelona. I don't remember
him at Real. It was Figo.
Ronaldo. The old fat Ronaldo. He swapped clubs. Adelaide United, where you won a championship, and then 2017. Hopefully it's not the last entry we see on Wikipedia, but Dandenong City there playing again. So you've basically played at all three of the Croatian NPL clubs that are around at the moment. Is there any chance of a comeback, mate? What do we reckon? Is there anything that we can do? We can talk to people. I know some people who you just need to visit after hours and they might be able to get you right to go if injuries are the thing.
No, looking very, very unlikely. I did train at the Knights. It would have been probably about 5 or 6 weeks ago. Mickey was good enough to have me down for just a couple of weeks. I wanted to test out the body, see how I was feeling, do a little bit of cardio training, but I pulled up a little bit sore. So, unfortunately, I think my playing career is over.
You've had 6 weeks to recover, so you'll be back at training tomorrow night. Mickey, just get the physio ready. We're right to go. So you debuted with the Knights as a 16-year-old in 2006. 2007 played an important role in helping the club secure second spot in the Victorian Premier League, and we were talking about that earlier because I asked you, did you manage to wear one of these strips in your time at the Knights? And you said that was just after you'd left and gone overseas.
Yes. So that was 2008, that top. I do have a colourful one, the red, white and blue one at home, sitting on my desk, but unfortunately I was never able to wear it in a match.
You probably don't want to wear it, mate.
But, without doubt, the most controversial home kit we ever had, I think.
Yeah, I put it up there.
Along with one of the Ollie Roos strips, I think, back in the Preston. Preston had a shocker back in the day, the old Miko Holdings.
They did.
It was great. Oh, you look it back now, they've got a great top.
It's got nothing on the new Juve kit.
Oh,
haven't seen it.
Oh, apparently, the stripes look too much like an American referee, and they're struggling to sell jerseys in the US, so they've absolutely demolished the old kit, and it's a travesty.
Oh, okay. And Eddie Maguire, I think, also had a sook and said they can't wear the stripes at home games.
Very important.
So Dinamo Zagreb, you move across and you went across, or was someone already there that you knew here from Melbourne that was joining you in your trip over there?
Yes. So I went over, I was actually at schoolies when I got the call. I was down in Lawn and I got a call saying, you've got to go to Dinamo Zagreb for a trial in about 3 days' time. So my brother and mum picked me up, drove all the way down to Lawn, 2.5 hours, picked me up, and next thing you know, I was on a plane a couple of days later to visit an old friend, even Knights player, Daniel Visovic, who was already there, who had been there for a number of weeks prior to me coming. For a trial for 2-3 weeks just prior to Chrissy. Did well along with Dane, and we were able to get signed up, so it was a nice experience, great experience as a teenager, but it was an eventful year when we were there.
Did you know that was on the cards at all, or did that just come out of nowhere?
It really came out of nowhere. So I was on schoolies, that's all I'm going to say. So I was enjoying myself whilst I was down there, and I was not expecting it at all, so it came out of left field.
You thought you took the wrong pill.
I it happened about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so it wasn't too bad.
I was at schoolies last year. I got the call if I can play for Melbourne Tornado this year's soccer tournament.
But I mean, you've gone from as a junior at St Albans Dinamo, and then you've got an opportunity to go to Dinamo Zagreb. I take it you're a Dinamo fan.
Yes.
I mean, what that must have been an amazing feeling to be sitting on a plane and you're going to Maksimir there to try out.
Yeah, I literally just finished my VC, so 18 years old, just turned 18. Didn't even have my license at the time. And it was a surreal experience, yeah, jumping on the plane by myself. Just thought, go over there, we'll suss it out, see how we go. I was more using it just as an experience, a life lesson, if you will. Didn't expect to get anything out of it, but fortunately, they threw us in straight away. When I arrived, trained with the first team football, with the first team there, and you know, you got the likes of Modric, Mandzukic, all these boys there. Yeah. It was very, very surreal. Only being able to watch them, and even then, just from afar, internet wasn't the best. It wasn't really great back in the day. But yeah, just to get that experience and that there, it was unbelievable.
Now, Daniel Dragovic says that you are his inspiration. He also said you've got a head for radio and NK Bunker's newest signing. So everyone looks like he's trying to jump on board and get Marte on there. So you were most recently a Dandy. Do you keep tabs much on the NPL? Do you? It's obviously now on all the social media, Facebook, YouTube, etc. You can watch every game at any given time, even at the same time. Do you keep tabs on your old clubs or just across the board?
Yeah, without a doubt. I watch quite a bit of games. I tend to watch Dandy a lot because I've got a lot of friends, obviously, that still play there and do tend to watch the Knights games as well. Caught a bit of the game on the weekend. As you said, it was an unfortunate number of chances, which were... weren't able to put away, and
there was plenty of sprint efforts though.
Sprint efforts.
There was plenty of sprint efforts, but still couldn't get the win.
No, despite
the sprint efforts.
No, but yeah, I do without a doubt. I've still got quite a number of friends that play at all different sides, so I always have a look at Football 24 to see the live scores, see what's going on.
Now, one of your former teammates at Dandy, you said you caught up with recently, and we just popped into my head that maybe we can get him on as a guest, but Ljubo Milicevic. So you caught up recently. How's he going? Is he still having a kick, or is he into other ventures?
Or planting fruit trees?
I'm not too sure. Yeah, you know, he's not playing football anymore. He's enjoying himself, I think, up in Sydney, living... on the beach in Byron, just enjoying life, I think, at the moment. And he's in a good place, and he seems to be like he's enjoying life at the moment, so it's good to see.
You let us know when he's back in Melbourne at any stage, and if he's around on a Monday night, we'll get him into the studio and we can have a chat with him as well.
Most definitely, I'll let him know.
No worries. All right, so then, Lokomotiva. Now, I understand, was it at Lokomotiva when you got that fairly serious injury that may or may not still be a bit of a effect on you?
Yes. Well, the first 6 months were spent in the junior team at under-19s at Dinamo Zagreb, which was great. We think we won a couple of tournaments, whatnot.
Any notable players in that squad that you're with?
I think majority, the Dinamo system's a little bit different. I think once you get to that 18 years of age, their sister club, Lokomotiva, was already playing in the third division at the time where Daniel was, and a lot of their top-tier juniors were already playing at Lokomotiva at the time, even though they were of age for the 19. So I think you had Milan Badel, Tomachak, Bagaric, a few of the boys who had played at a decent level and played a number of games at Croatian First League. They were already there. So the only players that were in the junior team was Mateo Poljak, actually, former West Sydney player, and Pivotic they were probably the only two real noticeable guys in that team at the time. But then to Lokomotiva for that second 6 month of the year. Picked up a couple of injuries to the same ankle within a 2-3 week time frame. And it was a bit of a tough time, I think, during that period for me.
Because it looked like you're flying there. I mean, looking at your stats, 14 games and 6 goals, not a bad return.
I don't know who's written that. I don't even think I got into the park 14 times. Definitely didn't score 6 goals, if that's the case, unless you're talking about training goals. But I like it there. I like it there. It doesn't seem too bad.
You know, you can edit it yourself, mate. Add a couple more on there.
Yeah, why not?
I've done it before. I think I'm on Nikolai Volkov's Facebook page there.
So, I reckon it was someone from Lawn, from that festival you were at.
Potentially.
But it says here also you were considered a European player due to your Croatian citizenship. So did you ever get approached by anyone in the Savis saying, what do you reckon, you come play for the national team?
Well, that was me and Daniel were there. That was a bit of an issue. I think we wanted our citizenship whilst we were there, but the club never actually got it for us. I got my citizenship would have been 3 or 4 years ago after I had to do my test.
You had to sit the
test. The multiple choice question test. So whilst I was there, no, I didn't have Croatian citizenship. I was a foreigner. So no approach by the Federation at all from there.
And then you made your way back, you came back to the Knights, and then Melbourne Victory. So the new A-League, how did you find that? Was it before that, what did you do you think, differently, other than your talent, obviously, that gets you noticed so you can get a call up from overseas and go to a Dinamo Zagreb and a Lokomotiva and eventually into the A-League? Was there anything you think you did above and beyond for all the kids that are listening out there? And we've got a lot of kids at Knights Juniors and otherwise who tune in, and they're usually very interested to know what. You were very close to Dinamo's ground. You were right there at Churchill Reserve across the road. You would have spent a fair bit of time there. Did you get there as much as you possibly could and kick a ball against the wall? Were you kicking tennis balls? What was your secret?
Yeah, without a doubt. I was fortunate enough to be blessed with an older brother who was 5 years older than me, so I had him to sort of compete against, whether it be just backyard football or even going for a kick at Dinamo. I always sort of saw him and thought, you know, I've got to beat him. So never really got to that stage, because I think once I got to the stage where I could beat him, he sort of just binned it. He just gave it away and just thought, I'm not going to lose to my younger brother here. Dinamo, I was thankful. It was literally five houses away. So whenever I did have the opportunity, I'd go there, go for a run, go for a bit of a kick every chance I got. So, yeah, I was pretty determined to try and just better myself.
And speaking of this brother that's 5 years older than you, did his coaching almost cost you your career, or did he actually improve you and make you into the star that you became later on down the track?
I don't know about star, but definitely, no, he was a good coach. He helped us quite a bit. I think we had a team of rejects in the under-15s Super League. I think we literally had about six or seven guys from the starting 11 that didn't make other Super League sides. So we ended up finishing third that year, so we did pretty well. So he wasn't a bad coach.
So we can call him Pep from now on. He can turn garbage into gold, basically. But competition. So we started talking about it earlier before the show started. We didn't actually pick a competition question.
No, we didn't, but I'm sure you've picked one in the meantime.
Now, what year, if Wikipedia is correct, what year was Marte called up into the Australian under-23 side by coach Aurelio Vidmar for a Four Nations tournament held in Vietnam? So what year was it that Marte was called into, what was it, the Oli Roos? Is that the under-23 team?
Yeah, technically called.
Yes. Yeah. What year was it that might now? A phone call, like we always do, gets precedence and will most likely win the competition if you ring through the answer. 99-99-99-99. No doubt we'll get plenty of texts and messages on Facebook as well, but phone call so we can have a bit of a chat with you and you can ask any questions of Marty if you like as well, or myself and Spolch. So what year was Marty called up to play for the under-23s Australian team?
And that's for your chance to win a $100 voucher to St. Andrew's Hotel, formerly the Pump House, which I don't think you'll be able to use next week, because next week there's a special for members, which is 50% off all food and beverages. So, I mean, if that is not an incentive, I don't know what is.
Get on it. Date night. Sorted. There you go. Just don't have to tell the missus it's 50% off. You just go for the most expensive thing and you only pay half the price. Fantastic.
That's right. Go you look nuts. Like a hero.
No worries. Melbourne Victory. So you spent a bit of time there, switched across to City, and then you did win a championship with Adelaide. What was it like there? That was, you know, after that, obviously you see that you've come back to Dandy City, but what was it like in Adelaide, moving from Melbourne, leaving the family behind and getting into a new city, new people?
Adelaide as a city is quaint, nice, small.
I was in Bendigo today, mate, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
It was good. It was good. Football was really good. We had a quality side. Changing room was unbelievable. Boys sort of stuck together, even though I think that start of that season, we had the first eight games, we hadn't won a game. I think it was three draws and five losses, but boys sort of stuck together. We knew what we needed to do, and I think we ended up going on a run of about 17 games where we unbeaten. I think we had the most clean sheets ever, A-League history as well. So it was a real, real tight group. I probably didn't play as much as I would have liked, but that's simply because the boys in my position were doing fantastically well. Bruce Kamau, Craig Goodwin, I think it was Pablo Sanchez who kept on scoring whenever he was coming off the bench, and Sergio Theria. So I couldn't really say much. Whatever opportunity I got given was just more so when they were getting fatigued close to the end of the game, because they were, whenever they were playing, they were on fire, and I just pretty much had to sit back and more so hope for an injury anything else, but they were fit and they were firing, and you know, they did really, really well, and as a team they lifted up everyone, especially in that attacking third.
Who was your coach at the time? Was it Joseph?
No, it was Guillermo Amor.
Okay. Because I was going to ask if you understood anything said. That's all.
Did you understand anything that Guillermo Amor said? I think I remember he was like very quiet in press conferences. Was he a bit different in the changing rooms?
A little bit more vocal. I suppose when he was getting interviewed, he was a little bit more timid. He had Paul, his assistant there, who could speak English and quite well. Whereas him, he wasn't as confident, I suppose, in the English language as others have been in the past.
And just as a point of difference, Victory and City and Adelaide United, was there something different other than, you know, your locker room culture?
Yeah, I suppose when I was at Victory, the league was still fairly new, but the level of professionalism it had there was really high. A lot of sports scientists, a lot of physios, and the club was run and was the club and the standard. They just won the final year prior to me coming, and we'd lost the grand final on penalties of Sydney that first year that I was there. So the level of professionalism of Victory was fantastic. They had the Olympic Park sort of facility. They had Amy Park as well, which was just opened. The change rooms and the base was all underneath the stadium there. And Heart was a little bit different. They were still a new club. It was their second season. So that sort of level of professionalism and wasn't there just yet. I suppose with whatever money was given to La Trobe Uni, pitch was fantastic. Coaches, lads were fantastic as well. But the amount invested probably wasn't as much as Victory at the time. But when City came along, it was massive. It was a big change, and a lot of things changed when they came in.
Did it freak you out wearing Red Star colours when you were at Heart?
I don't know. You had to ask JD about that. It wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad. I think that's why they decided to go for the River as well. The River kit on the away side, on the away kit. So it wasn't too bad.
It was much nicer kit.
Yeah.
For the now probably older kids, we can call them, listening as well. Did you say you were trialled as at Newcastle Jets as well at some stage? Was that very early on?
So during that year that after Lokomotiv, I came back to the Knights, I trialled at Wellington Phoenix and the Newcastle Jets at that period. Wellington Phoenix, I was there for about a week or so, but I was there and then they had the Confederations Cup, I believe, so New Zealand had made it. And Ricky Herbert was there, coach of Wellington at the time, with half the players pretty much. 2 days after I arrived, had left for the Confederations Cup. So why I went at that time was not really, it was beyond me. I think I'd played one friendly game and they played me as a nine, as a target man up top, and I really didn't do much. I was against one of those local sides there, and I think boys were sort of saving themselves for the Confeds Cup as well. So we didn't necessarily have a full squad. So I was there. I think they saw me for 2 days and that was about it. I said, thank you very much for coming, and upped up the frequent flyers, but that's all that trip was for. And yeah, at Newcastle as well would have been during that period. It was different. I was there again for a week, and I was supposed to play in a friendly game. I think we played against Sydney Olympic on the Wednesday or the Thursday when I got there, but didn't even make it on the park for some reason. Not sure what, whatever the reason was. I think there was a bit of inner sort of politics going on at the Jets at the time, and I went up as a favour for a person, and there was just inner fighting, and then they just decided not to play me. So that was a bit of an average sort of trip as well.
Yeah, but most of the time when you went out to these trials, did you go on your own, or did somebody come up with you?
Nah, just by myself.
Yeah?
By myself, yeah.
So and how did you prepare for that? Now, being a young bloke, getting called up, going into a completely new environment? Mentally.
Mentally, you just try and approach it with no fear. I suppose as a youngster as I was at the time, I didn't have any fear. I didn't know the implications of something that could go wrong. I just viewed it as another opportunity to try and strut my stuff, if you will, try and make it to the professional league. So I just prepared as I would any sort of other game. Ate the right things, did the right things, got as much sleep as I possibly could have, and you know, just did what I needed to do to get my body right.
There you go, young boys listening out there in the 18s, in the 20s, in the 15s, 16s, take note. The bloke that's been there, been overseas, been here, he's trialled, He's been through it all. If you ever need to get in touch, no doubt you'll be a mentor, I suppose. You're basically now you can mentor a lot of these young kids that you may know along the way. That'd be fantastic. What about any coaching ambitions?
I did. I touched on coaching last year at Dandy City under 20s, which is a great experience as well. Something that, again, was new. It was a new experience to me last year, and unfortunately, probably didn't do as well as we would have liked. We had a good stretch of games. Started off the season pretty poorly, but had a good stretch of games through the middle where we were unbeaten, taking on the top teams and doing really well. And then, unfortunately, close to the end of the year, we fell off again. And it was nice, and I really enjoyed coaching, and I definitely will do it again. But this year, I'm heading off overseas for 6-7 weeks. I didn't want that to sort of interrupt any sort of team that I was coaching this year, because as a player, if a coach leaves halfway through the year, you're not necessarily going to be committed to whoever comes in. And I just thought it's best me just step away for the year, let the kids play, let them enjoy themselves, and let myself enjoy myself as well for this season.
Done these licenses or whatever it is these days?
Yeah, so I've pretty much completed my C, completed my B. All I've got to do is send the assessment in for my B. And then I believe there's the A-license course coming up at the end of the year. So I'll have sussed that out and decide whether or not I'll be doing that in the next couple of months.
There you go, mate. Could be the youngest coach in one of the higher leagues, hopefully in Australia, mate. You're only 29 years of age. You get your A-license. Coaching the Socceroos soon, mate, because I don't think they'll be doing too much. It might be a vacancy very shortly there. But we've got a couple of more messages. So Darko Balaban, there you go. And Darks, great job, guys. Inspirational for the Croatian community all round from Darko there. So you know him from Dandy and otherwise. Ante Starčević sends his regards from Melbourne as well for Mate. And Luka Munivrana asking, Mate, what do you think? Does the A-League need promotion relegation? And also, would you like to see the Knights back in the top flight?
Before you answer that, I do think we have a winner of our competition.
Oh, well, we've at least got a talkback call. Whether they're going for the competition, I'm not sure. But Alyosha is on the line.
Alyosha, well, let's open up the doghouse for Alyosha.
Yeah, let's get some music for it as well. I think we've got to give it the full treatment for this one.
In tonight's special feature, we hear their thoughts on where the game has been and where it's heading.
You can't handle the truth.
You want really to say something?
Open up the doghouse. Open up the doghouse.
We've opened up the doghouse for you, Alyosha. You're on the air now.
Hello, boys. Woof, woof.
Good evening, Alyosha. How are you going?
Oh, very good, Robert. I'm back in country, but no say anything. Tony Mokbel, bring me back.
He's
a boy, you know? He bring me back. He send me secret undercover.
Yeah, what's your secret undercover job?
I can't collect my money from Dominic the chemist, you know, the walk boy.
Alyosha, I just really like to ask you to maybe curb your language, because we do have kids listening,
sorry.
And we don't have a dump button.
Sorry, kids, sorry.
But Alyosha,
sugar.
Yeah, sugar, yeah, absolutely sugar. But we've actually managed to go without swearing for about a good 11, 12 weeks, and you've ruined that for us. But I think people that saw you coaching on the sidelines wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
Yes, that's true. Yes, I got very short temper. Referee, like my friend Lucas, I must be the motion to A-League.
Okay, fair enough. So do you actually have an answer to our question, or you just called
say
hello?
No, I just want to say hello. And if Mickey, listen, I got his advice. You know, before I come to Australia, that nobody know, talking to Ciro Blažević. You know that one?
I know that one.
He gave me one tactic. He said, you know that video he had on the YouTube? He said, na centru fortu, if you push everybody forward, it's a very chedres perveko švabe.
Yes, I do. Yes, I remember that video, yeah.
Nicky, you must push everybody forward. Attack like Germany.
Well, I think we did actually on the weekend, but still didn't manage to put it in the back of the net, but, you know.
Yeah, maybe nice need to buy that Turkish one, that's Melbourne, the new one, buy, you know. That means the Turkish man they buy.
I'm not sure which one you're referring to.
Oh, you don't know. Yeah, that Western United by somebody, some Turkish man. I think he's working kebab shop somewhere in northern suburbs, but they say he scored a goal. But he's not played 3-4 years. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that player's about as well known as their star signing from Greece that they got over there for next week.
Yeah, Costa something. He's got the whole alphabet last name.
So are we going to look forward to seeing you down in Altona Way, down at the Pia Pizza Place?
No, likely. You know, I'm actually in Bondi with Lou Bonalicious, my coffee.
You make a good coffee?
Very good. But not as good as Van Piccolo in Altona or Williamstown, where I used to sit and talk tactics with my player with Dan.
Maybe not quite as good. Quite as good as the Julius Meinl, though, because that one's soft, smooth.
Anyway, boys, I just want to say hello, and that's the tactic for Mickey. If you listen, push forward. Must be push, attack.
Well, there you go, Mickey Cholino. If you're listening, there's some wise words from your predecessor there, Alyosha.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much. I go back to my coffee for me and Lugo and my mother, a little bit canoodle, and
Okay. Well, enjoy your canoodling, and thanks for the call.
No, thank you.
So, back to Marta anyway. Actually, well, it just means that the competition's still open, 99944999. What year did Marta enter the Oli Roo's camp, the fold, let's say. But anyway, so look, you've gotten a lot of perspective. You've played NPL/VPL football. You've gone through Dinamo Zagreb Academy, and you've played the A-League. How does that all differ and perspectives on football? And is there, how did you find the changes from going from one to the other?
Yeah, it was different. There are massive levels of professionalism all throughout. I think when I was still, prior to moving overseas to Dinamo, I was just at the Knights. And VPL is probably, there aren't as many sprints as there are back, you know, now, as there were as back in the VPL days with Knights. But going over there, football in Crow is just different. Football's the number one sport there. Here, we have to compete with football. AFL, cricket, basketball, whatever it may be, and the funding and all the money involved here, and the fact that the kids just want it that much, that's the main difference, I think, to Croatian football than it is here in Australia. When I was there, you could watch the under-12s train, and the way they were playing and the way they were training, they were there four times, five times a week. They're 10, 11-year-olds, and the fact that the intelligence and the football knowledge and the technical sort of aspect that they had back then is you can't fathom that compared to the kids here. And it's, I don't know, you just can't compare it. They live and breathe it over there than to here. And I think then coming back here and playing VPL again, it was different. It was different. There I was a professional athlete, if you want to call it that. Coming back to studying and then playing part time again, and then making the step up again to the A League, it was a new experience, surreal experience for me. But the amount of level of dedication, I think, throughout the course of my career, just changed drastically from club to club as well. And you can sort of see that. And I think throughout the course of the 7 years of the A League that I was there, you can see the sciences, the technical sort of aspect of the league increased massively from when I first started to the end as well. And then that sort of last year coming back into semi-professional football with Dandy, it was a great experience, something that I really enjoyed, because it wasn't the sort of pressure that is put upon you from in a professional sort of aspect. And it was great, and we had a great year, we had a great side. Unfortunately, it wasn't to be at the end of the year playing against the Knights. But we had a great year. Injuries sort of cost us. But, yeah, comparing VPL, our NPL to VPL, it's chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
I know there was, I suppose the VPL when I was playing in, I think it was 06 would have been the last year. Oh, no, sorry, 09. There was still a number of players that had played NSL at that level, though. You still had, like, Damianos, Chaga was still there, Salamasi, Henry Ferrodo. Juan Nilo, you had Sturgopoulos, all these boys that had played at NSL level and were quality. So I think back VPL days, 07, 09, the years that I played, the technical aspect was a lot higher. I want to say higher, but it was different to what it is now in the NPL. NPL football is great and there is some sort of level of professionalism, but it is I don't think you have the quality of the sort of players that they had back 10, 15 years ago. I think there are a number of boys that had played A-League now and that are coming down, and that's great to see. But even then, the A-League's it's very much a recycled league now.
Yeah,
players tend to go from club to club, and there are a lot of players in the VNPL that are good enough to play, but they'll never get their opportunity because there are only 10 teams in this league, and there's 20, 23 players, so 200 to 230 players in this league. They're not going to give they're not going to get given an opportunity, which is unfortunate. Because I think you touched on second league before.
Time for promotion, exactly. Relegation.
Well, that's the whole thing. What Luca Munivran was bringing up, and that was a question I was going to ask you as well, because you've been part of all of those systems, the NPL system, VPL, A-League. Do you think it's time to open up the A-League for promotion relegation, or do you think that the A-League just needs to expand? What's your perspective on all of this?
I think there definitely needs to be promotion and relegation in the top tier of Australian football. Whether it be now, I don't believe now is the right time for it. I think we need to increase the league prior to actually doing that. I think if you look at it financially, every club out of the 10 teams, I'm going to say probably two run a profit. Yeah. And the club and the FFA pretty much give the salary cap to every single team. They give them 2.8 mil, I think, at the start of every single year. So if clubs are running at a deficit every single year and you want to bring in promotion relegation, as good as it is for football and as fantastic as it would be for those players that are good enough to play in a sort of in a professional league, it's probably not sustainable at the moment. I think the league needs to increase to probably about 14 teams and potentially even 16 teams before that were to come in. And I don't know. I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon, unfortunately.
Do you think that a second division needs to be set up in tandem with this and so to get a rhythm or so happening before it opens up for a promotion relegation, or would you do you think a second division should be opened up and promotion relegation eventually happens immediately?
Yeah. The model would be very intriguing. I don't think even FFE know what they're doing with the NPL sort of system. I've heard
it's
changing
clear.
Again. Yeah. So to implement something on a national level as well is something that I'd be very hesitant to do, especially, you know, creating that second league. I think, yeah, fantastic. I think it should get done. But the fact is, you're even looking now at the National Youth League. That's split into two conferences now. Mm-hmm. So the New South Wales teams don't have the trouble. They just carry by bus from club to club. Mm-hmm. So if they're sort of restricting the youth of the country and not providing the youth with the amount of sort of quality time and quality
competition
that I think even I don't think the FFA are even looking or even considering a second league at the moment.